Good afternoon. Welcome to Tate Modern. I'm Gabriela Salgado, Curator of Public Programs. This is the last of a series of events that we've done once a month in collaboration with Art Monthly. And it's very nice to welcome you all and to welcome Pipilotti Rist to be here with us today in conversation with Patricia Vickers, whom you recognize from all the series, being next to me and introducing the series. Today she's going to be the interviewer. And for those who looked at the website earlier on, you must have noticed that we changed interviewer. Michael Bracewell, regrettably, is not very well, so he couldn't come today. And Patricia has very kindly stepped in and will be in conversation with Pipilotti today. As I said, this is the last of the series for this season, and we're starting again in October with John Baldessari, coinciding with this exhibition at Tate Modern. Pipilotti Rist was born in Switzerland, studied illustration and photography at the Institute of Applied Arts in Vienna and video at the School of Design in Basel. During her studies, Pipilotti began making Super 8 films. Her works generally treat issues related to gender, sexuality, and the human body. She has been producing experimental video audio works and installations since 1986, using the gallery and the public space in very experimental ways. The work she made for Times Square was especially interesting, the 16 video segments titled Open My Glade from 2000. She will show clips of all this work, so I won't go into detail about this, and Patricia will certainly be in very interesting conversation with her about them. So I just want to say also Pipilotti has had a quite interesting immersion in popular culture. She was part of a band called Les Reines Prochaines, producing concerts, performances, and records between 1988 and 1994. Perhaps you can talk about that a bit if you like as well. She was also invited to teach by Paul McCartney at UCLA between 2002 and 2003, just a very interesting teaching experience she had there. Her works, as you know, are exhibited in major museums around the world and also belong to important collections. She lives and works in Zurich and the mountains of Switzerland. And one thing that I will say that probably will open up a mystery is that her favorite number is 54. She will have to tell us why. So enjoy the event. Thank you very much for coming.
Well, good afternoon and welcome, and apologies for not being Michael Bracewell. Pipilotti was joking over lunch that her work with gender is so powerful that she's actually changed Michael's sex, and I am now he's now a woman. Anyway, I've been a long-term fan of Pipilotti's. I would have prepared more, but I think we have plenty of material, and I hope you'll enjoy it as much with me instead of Michael. In fact, I came back last night from Venice, and so I really am on the hop, as it were. But in a way, the fact that Pipilotti wasn't in Venice was a terrible absence, because I first met Pipilotti in Venice in 93 in the last wonderful, chaotic aperto, the open section that made Venice a real pleasure to go to. Now it's a very respectable institution, the Biennale, but the aperto was a wonderful, as I say, chaotic section, and Pipilotti made a beautiful work there that I remember clearly, involving chandeliers and LCDs, or rather small video monitors, which we can talk about. But also, so much do I identify Pipilotti with Venice that there's a church there, some of you may know, which is a deconsecrated church where they show work, San Stai, and Pipilotti, representing Switzerland, showed a wonderful work called Homo Sapiens, Sapiens. And today, I have to say that another artist was showing there, and I didn't go in, because as far as I'm concerned, Pipilotti owns that church now. She made a wonderful piece that was a what the Italians call di sotto in su, when you look above from below. And it was Tiepolo reborn, a wonderful ceiling projection that you may have seen on our website. Pipilotti is showing it right now. And it's a place to start, I think, because it has so many characteristics of your work as it is now anyway. And we can talk about that, the circumstances, how it came about, this commission. It was a commission, wasn't it?
It's the second part of the Swiss Pavilion. They have once helped to renovate this church. That's why they now use it as a Swiss Pavilion. Can I also thank you very much for coming here. I was extremely interested to work on this space. What is normally the case, how I have to work, is that there is a given space and I adapt to it. And in this case, it was obvious to work on the ceiling. And the ceiling is rounded and with four projectors going in this way, so that when you lay down, you don't see where the picture begins and where it starts. And the ceiling as the idea of the spirit, and in the church, our bad flesh and the super spirit going away from the bad world into the
heaven,
yeah. Sorry for my missing English words. And to have these pictures one together on the computer, the picture had to be squeezed like this, that in the end they become square again. So like the perspective changing. And the projectors were behind such balls, so I decided not to possess the church, but really be not almost there.
Mm-hmm.
And the content of the video was how I imagine paradise without the fall of man.
But in a way, that's an analogy with all your work. Paradise, all this immersive work, paradise before the fall, that it's like you won't surrender to this idea that somehow the body is bad and then the mind and body split. You want it to bring it all back together again in some notional space of your creation. Is that something?
It's
like
nice
that?
Said. I appreciate if you say it like this. And all these prejudices we have about the sin and is so much linked with pictures. So I think if we talk about even the next three generations, still very, very deep inside, and if we try to fight against these old ideas that we are full of sin from the moment when we are born, and that life is only a test, and then the real life is afterlife, and all these ideas, they are deep in, even in my mind. So you write one of the wishes I have with my work, like flight forward and pretend things and create things that washes out our old pains.
Mm-hmm. And there are both, you have introduced your characters, Pepperminta and Amber. These two characters who become protagonists in two other related video pieces.
In this work, I worked first time with Evelina Gutzik. She's a performer from Krakow. Shall I look to you or to you?
What? We can move, so
okay.
Both.
No. So I found Evelina Gutzik, and I was looking. That's her eye. I will show quickly next extract. That is how the people could lay. Maybe you can speak
yes.
about the,
yes,
the visitor's body.
Yes.
And here should now come. Now Evelina comes in a second. And I was looking for a woman with an interesting skin. And all all the filming was camera or I was upwards mm-hmm. or downwards.
Heaven and earth.
Yeah. And it looks extremely slow because you sit here and it's so small. But if this is 20 meters, so every movement that is here, for example, this movement goes 10 times faster when it's 10 times bigger. Mm-hmm.
I wish Tiepolo could see this.
And this tak tak tak, that it's not so smooth. This is now my problem with the QuickTime. I'm was smoother there.
Now this is so sumptuous and beautiful and uplifting. And yet the church found this objectionable. You had trouble with the church in Venice, the authorities.
Yeah. They closed it after 4 months, after 6 months, they closed the church and wrote on the door, closed for technical reason. Yeah, and I wrote them, you should not lie. but the priest, it's not anymore a youth church. The priest came before we opened and we watched it together and he gave me his okay. Mm-hmm. So it was some people collecting signatures, sending to Rome,
oh,
and then Rome,
oh,
Rome
yes,
did yes. put pressure on the bishop, and it was only 40 signatures, and then the Portuguese pavilion next to us, they collected 3,000 signatures to reopen, but it didn't work.
But maybe if they found 54 signatures, they wouldn't have closed it. What's with 54? Are you going to tell us?
I'm extremely superstitious, so and this number was when I was born already in the air, and whenever I see 54, then I have to go onto my knees and pray to that number.
I'm going to try it. Now, one of the things, the word that crops up over and over and over again in any discussion of your work is this word immersive. That the experience, and we'll perhaps look at the piece Pour Out Your Body, which you did in New York in 2008. This idea that you created a sensation of being totally immersed. People say this about IMAX or movies, or but genuinely the sense of being completely, people as you see lie down on couches, on cushions, on sofas to your own design, and chill out is what people say, but actually it's an almost out of the body experience. But there are times in your work when you absolutely deny that or stop that. Not all your work is immersive. You've done some work, I'm thinking of, is it Lullaby? And other works where you have a figure pressed against the glass of a window or something that actually reminds the viewer of the limits of the medium, if you like, the impossibility of penetrating space in this utopian way. Is that a sort of counterpoint to these other more immersive, more uplifting experiences? Sense of entrapment, maybe.
Yeah, let me first say something
to
immersive. You're right. I try to work as immersive as possible because I think we look too much into our monitors, into TV sets, into computer. We try to put everything behind these squares and it affects us strongly. And it's kind of a remedy to make it as huge as possible. And also it becomes like a common thinking bubble. Like we are in our body so alone, we are with our skin, we are always alone. And when we go together, for example, here to the Tate, then we start in a way to go into a common body where we then stand in front of an artwork or listen to something and take the time out of the ordinary life. And what earlier was a church, that you took a moment out of your hectic daily routines and you have time for yourself, and it's also the moment where you grow over yourself or become one body with the others. And what you said with the
kind of counterpoint to that, with those works where you press against the glass and seem to show the limits, some kind of barrier or limit of the medium.
I think it has something together that when we today with electronic media, I have another picture for that. I'm also interested that when we look to a video, it's not only immersive, like not only seductive, because you can always decide, it's only light, it's only pixel, you see all the mistakes, the shortcomings of video, of electronic. I think that is important to fall back and forth. Mm-hmm. And now in the moment, probably you have also realized when you see old standard definition video, we thought once we treated it as sharp, and now it's going over to high definition. And when we come back, we think it's not sharp what we see, it's just, but in reality, it's our brain that makes all the information in between. Mm-hmm. Because no media ever, no photography, no film, no video will ever be as sharp and picturesque as now this room is.
And that's right, that's what I was wondering, that in a way, in Lullaby and in Be Nice to Me, which is another work where there's a sense of the glass that you can't break out, that you're slightly trapped, this kind of membrane or layer between the figure, the audience, this sort of slightly frustration maybe with, as you say, the limits, in the sense the human eye is always better than even the most immersive experience you can produce. Is that the case?
Yes. But also I have the wish to jump into the other's eye to live on the retina of the other.
Yes, there's a lovely quote from you where you say, you said the eye is like a camera, blood-driven camera. I think it was. It's a wonderful phrase. Our eyes, a blood-fueled camera. As if somehow you could somehow get the camera behind your eyes and that would be your perfect solution to this immersive.
Yeah, actually all the technique we have, the video technique is a copy of how our eye is built in evolution. We have the retina and we have cones for the red waves, the blue waves, and the green waves. And every technology was only copying the already existing system. Mm-hmm. And also it's, for example, to say that video, when we make video, it's from technical point of view all always a little bit less colorful than it's in reality, because we are extremely afraid that our skin could look colored or mm-hmm. red or greenish. So to say every technique is not free from the cultural conditions. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting when you said nothing is as real as we are here now in this room. And I just noticed this whole room is painted red. And on the way here, outside the National Theatre, they've built something for children to play on that's all covered in green. Giant sofas and giant chairs and lampstands. And I thought, my goodness, Pippi Lotti-Rista's been here. Because it looked just like Das Zimmer with the large-scale upgraded furniture, you remember, that you made. And you remember, of course.
Yeah.
But you also did a piece called Red Carpet. These people must have seen it, where you gave everyone the privilege of walking on a red carpet in St. Gallen. And covered everything, sofas, chairs, the road, so that people could play around. There were fountains, everything was, yes.
Yep.
Cue, perfect, isn't that? so that, in a way, you know, the Tate must have seen this piece. I feel we're living in Pippi Lotti's world.
This is a collaboration with Carlos Martinez, mm-hmm. an architect I know from childhood. It's Nomales Bildli. And these are the lamps. So here the basic concept was to pretend the outside space being an inside space, pretend that it's a carpet from a living room, and also the lights are more inside lamps than outside lamps. It was a competition. And I didn't want to win it. The one who asked three artists to collaborate with architects and architects with artists. And I thought, what would I do if I would own this, if that would be my area? They just said, let's do it, and then in 18 months it was realized. And it's a huge hit in the population.
It's so did you win in spite of yourself?
I'm sorry?
Did you win in spite of yourself? Did you win the competition?
In spite of not wanting.
Yes, in spite of not wanting to, did you win? You certainly won the public's confidence.
Yeah, that is, of course.
The public's prize.
That's, of course, super really nice.
Yeah.
It's in a small village near where I grown up. And it was an area never used by people, a dark area, and now became very popular, also because it's soft.
What is it, in fact?
It's this sportive tartan. Ist Stefanie Rosenthal da? Dann kann ich manchmal ein deutsches Wort werfen und sie übersetzen es mir.
Anyway, it's stuff. And it's still in situ, it's still there?
Yeah, it's permanent. It'll be for
fantastic.
Years, and it was not more expensive than to do it with normal tear, mm-hmm. plaster, or it has tear? Tar. Yes, exactly.
So people don't harm themselves if they fall off, or... Uh-huh, right. Because actually, one of the things that's not often discussed in your work is how sensitive you are to the architectural space. You were saying that you do work with the space, and that's leading us perhaps to the MoMA piece at New Museum of Modern Art, New York, the commission piece for incredibly difficult space, perhaps not as difficult as the Turbine Hall here, but almost as difficult, the huge atrium in the new Museum of Modern Art, New York. And it's called Pour Your Body Out, 7,354 cubic meters. That tells you something about the order of difficulty to fill that volume.
Before I say something to that, to work in public space, I think it's not possible to use video and audio. When they ask me for this competition, of course they expected something with moving image, but when it's in a room where people live or work, it becomes very quickly authoritarian and annoying. So, but here with all the installation, it's always only 3 months in the museums, and if you do a mistake, you do it next time better, but you can't do it with architecture. And here, this took me 5 years to do. They asked to make a proposition for the atrium, and the first 4 propositions were not possible for security reasons or for financial reasons. So just to let you know, I see many of you also work in the cultural field. I can feel it. What I do in the end is often a Verhandlung, constraints, negotiations, and development of a project. Mm-hmm. And then came quite a simple proposition. It's on this side to block the light, just curtains, and then 7 projectors, and the projectors are built in here. I have, and the condition was that it's not dark. I don't like dark rooms at all, or I don't ask for them. Ah, das ist jetzt gsi.
Sorry. You managed to bend the video round the column so that, how on earth did you do that?
Sorry. Bend around?
Yes, you know there's a white column. And you bent the video around it. I suppose after Sanstai, it was probably easy.
No, but actually, this bubble on one side has, I will show it on a still image, has one projector going onto the big wall, on the other goes around, takes only a small area. Mm-hmm. So the whole picture was combined of 7 projectors, mm-hmm. projections.
Yes, that column there.
The column, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and you modelled all this in the studio first, on a scaled-down version, one-third scale.
Yeah, I do everything first in model, also the church. The church, I had 3 models, one church this size, and having a screen in front of the editing table and sitting so close that you have the same distance as the laying visitors in the end. Mm-hmm. And here, this is a still. Here, this is in my studio. Mm-hmm. The whole MoMA in atrium in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And so here you see Markus. I collaborate with 3 people. You will see some photos of them too. So I did the editing before in the studio, but to have it on all the sides, I used a VJ software, because I can't afford that machines that go in the same moment to 7 projectors, as we then had in the end. We had to rent these huge hard disks.
And in the center of this experience, because that's what one never says, I've seen a Pipilotti wrist work. You always say, I've experienced a Pipilotti wrist. And the experience of this includes, at the center, an eye, which you created out of sort of carpeting with a circular blue iris and a white eye. that people can sit on, and that's the center of it. So this is again building that idea that somehow you're projecting. It's that extromission and intromission, you know, that something's going into the eye and somehow something's going out of the eye at the same time, in a kind of reciprocity.
Yes, I couldn't say it better.
Yes, you could. So it's a wonderful, and in the end, if you surrender to it, it really does feel like you're projecting it. You are the projector. You, us, we are the projector.
That's cool. Thank you very much. I'm here with people. And then they even made they did it. The yoga people came up with the idea themselves and used it a couple of Sunday mornings. I was very proud.
Now that's very interesting, because if we take another tack, some of us grew up with Andrea Fraser and institutional critique and Hans Hacker and people like that, that you're not allowed to love the institution. But in fact, you said that your work caresses, that was a lovely word you used in an interview, caresses the museum, this work in particular. So you don't, you said you don't want to attack the museum, you caress the walls.
Yeah. I'm more on a formal. Mm-hmm. I could decide to try to destroy the room or to fight against the room. And this, I decided to caress Taniguchi's proposition. Yes. It's a very elegant room, but if we are honest, behind these walls, it's completely rotten down old walls. I have been in the MoMA when it was
Rebuilt.
Mm-hmm. And it's all the old verrostet. Was heißt das? Was heißt das?
Steel. Rusted iron.
Like whole Manhattan is. Yes. You know, like layers of rusted cables. And then the slick walls and the whole room has the idea of ephemerity, of almost flying away. So I, in a formal way, I try to melt in, but also in when you speak about Andrea Fraser, that's true. I'm not dealing in my artwork about the institution or critique of the institution, because for me a museum is like the prolonged living room of everybody, and then I'm just doing a service to make this room as positive as possible to have a collective or a single possibility to reflect and to go deeper and you know.
That's fine.
Also Deutsch würde es schon ein bisschen besser gehen.
No, you're doing very well in English. People always talk about blissing out and tripping out and having these wonderful experiences. But in fact, there's still a trace, I think, to get back to this immersive thing. Because in Sip My Ocean, which I think stole our hearts away when we saw, those of us lucky enough to see it, when it came to the Chisenhale Gallery with Das Zimmer as well. But I couldn't help thinking of earlier works like Pipilotti's Mistakes, Pipilotti Fehler, which that's 1987. And in that work, there is a very frightening scene where you're being apparently drowned or baptized. You know, it could be either, you know.
Back and forward.
Yes, back and forwards, like someone is helping you and then they don't help you, they push your head under. You know, the immersive experience for you was a submersive experience, like you're being, and as I say, somewhere between baptism, being born, and being drowned. drowned in the medium, drowned in the experience. But also there was a sense, I mean, the title, there is obviously a Catholic strain going through this, because there's Pipilotti's mistakes and her absolutions. She wears a red dress and she falls over, literally a fallen woman in the red sinful dress. And then is she being punished or cleansed? Is she being baptized or destroyed? It's a very powerful work. I remember it very, very clearly being struck by it. And the soundtrack is percussion, isn't it? It's
like this. Can we have a little bit less light on us? Please, thank you very much. Oh, no. It doesn't work, huh? Sorry, this was a mistake in the mistakes. I always try to take mistakes as an offer of life, but it's hard if so many people looked.
This is Super 8. Is it Super 8 film, this? Or early video?
Early video, analog video. Mm-hmm. Also the mistakes are still alcohol, still analog.
Yes.
Mistakes. And with digital mistakes, if something fails, it much quicker fails everything.
Yes.
But in this work, I made the analogy to our failures, like
yes.
the psychosomatic problems that show us
to be human.
Yeah, and the truths where we should go and decide in life.
Yes.
But you wanted to go somewhere else in when
I
you
was
started.
I'm just saying that that this apparently blissful state has its other side, you know, and that you didn't get there as a simple trajectory, because quite a lot of your early works, including this one, the submersive or the immersive experience is a personal one, and it's not so positive. There are some very edgy early videos, like I'm Not the Girl Who Misses Much, because the song comes from Happiness is a Warm Gun by the Beatles, which is, you know, people associate with everything being very blissful. But there is another side, isn't there?
When you watch these pictures, they say it's extremely how much we get hurted in life and are offended and we fall down, but we stand up again. So sometimes when I look at other people, then I'm really, wow, how strong they are, that they always get up again and take the smash and put the other cheek. And it's about this energy that when we say we can hold it, then we can exercise. And I
exorcistic. Exorcise, yeah. Yes.
It's a question of exorcism, that
yes.
we exorcism us up and not down.
Yes, because that's the other thing that. You know, you dare to do all the things women artists were not supposed to do. You know, woman, body, nature, you know, all those things that are sort of associated with the womanly. Far from denying that, you celebrate that. In fact, you're trying, as I said earlier, to bring body and mind together again, to stop that binary separation or that Christian separation or whatever it might be. And but there was a time when, as a woman artist, it seemed absolutely that you couldn't suggest woman and nature, woman and water as her natural medium, you know, all these things. And you just went and did it. And I remember when I first saw it, I thought, my God, you know.
Yeah, but it helped me that my conviction is that a woman in the picture or a naked woman stands for me for the human, and not only for the woman, but that is a question of language.
Yes.
That when a naked man is standing there, aha, it's about the human. Yeah. A naked man is the philosophical person without class, without time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the naked woman includes the man also.
Yes. Well, you've said actually that woman is the norm and man is the exception. I quote.
Yes. And, you know, but I understand you,
yes.
in the feminist discussion, but was also the time when I did the pimple porno,
yes.
This big discussion that pornography is sexistic and all that. I'm not interested to lose time and power to say what is bad,
mm.
to make a proposition, what could be an erotic film, what would we like as women, and then my conclusion there was that probably women, to say it very general, are more interested to see what somebody is feeling when she or he is kissing rather than to see them kiss. Because if you look sexuality from outside, it's as long as no new body parts are invented, it's not so interesting. But what the people are really feeling, that just behind the eyelids and in front of the eyelids.
Yes. Oh, fascinating. Because you have actually also done animation, haven't you? I Want You Inside Me, what's it called? It's an animation. A drawing animation film.
I made several in the school.
Yeah.
The school